DNA testing services like Ancestry and 23andMe have proven to be extremely popular among the general public as we get the opportunity to figure out whether the family history we've been told about actually matches the reality. But members of the military are now being discouraged by the Pentagon to swab their cheeks and send in a sample. A memo issued late last month includes the sentence, quote, exposing sensitive genetic information to outside parties poses personal and operational risks to service members, end quote. To learn just how true that may be, I'm joined by Jamie Winterton. She is Director of Strategy at ASU's Global Security Initiative. Jamie, does this concept make sense to you, that there are security concerns and more?
Absolutely. I can see where the Pentagon's coming from. So if you think about what's in your genetic code, it's quite a bit more personal than maybe what's in your wallet. When we think about personal information, a lot of times we think about our social security number and our credit card. But there's a lot more personal information out there. And unlike your credit card or even your social security number, you can't change it. You can't get a backup. You can't get an additional way to identify yourself. So if someone gets a hold of your genetic data, there's not a lot you can do about it other than just have them know what's in there. Speaking of knowing what's in there, most of us know what's on our credit card, what types of balance we have or don't have, what we've spent our money on, but we may not know what's in our genetic code. So it's personal information that we may not even be aware of the sensitivity.
More information obviously can be bad if we don't want that information out there, but how could it be used in some way that could be a problem?
Well, I think the Pentagon is specifically worried about exploitation of its personnel. When people get security clearances or they're working with sensitive information, the government is worried that those people could be exploited, could be blackmailed, other kinds of things. Just what could somebody's genetic information be used for? I'm sure we all have weaknesses in our genetic code. There are things that we don't know about ourselves, about our personal health. Also things about our family or possibly who we think are our family. There are personnel at places like 23andMe that have had to be coached through the exercises of someone calls up and says, hey, this thing is wrong. It's telling me that my father isn't my father, or some other equally worrisome thing that is a surprise to them. So there could be a lot of mysteries and a lot of secrets hidden inside our genetic code that could be used to maybe try to embarrass somebody or try to pressure them into divulging secrets. And this is where we get into an interesting overlap between privacy and security. A lot of times these concepts are posed at being at odds with one another, right?
Yeah.
That either you can have privacy or you can have security. But I do think that they knit together in an interesting way. If someone knows everything about you, you are at risk of being exploited. Then you don't have that same level of security.
So are there certain positions that might be more vulnerable? You know, we think about spies, blackmail, or about putting someone in a position, not just because of someone's reputation, but actual physical safety, perhaps. Does it matter at what level or what position someone may have in defense or some other department?
Sure. And this is what we call your threat surface. Okay. So thinking about what kind of threats does an individual face? So somebody with a security clearance has a different threat surface. Somebody who, you know, maybe is a member of Congress or who is more prominent, you know, who is speaking out about certain things, is going to have a different threat surface. And so this is something that people need to consider when they're wondering, what should I do about this? And I think it's like this with any kind of privacy preserving tools and techniques. You know, what threats are you worried about? And what concerns you? I did a piece with David Pogue in the New York Times about privacy, and we recommended start with just thinking about what bothers you. What's your own personal level?
Like if something came out or...
Right, yeah. So would it bother you if someone had this information? And with genetic information, this is tough because you don't know what you don't know, right? You send off your swab and get it tested, and it could come back and tell you any number of things, but you don't know until you get that test back, at which point the results of that test are already in this company's database.
Yeah.
And how well are they protecting their databases, and where did they do the sequencing? Was it, you know, on high-performance computers in another country? Do we keep that information here? This is something I thought a lot about personally. So I was adopted, and so I don't have... I don't know my genetic history. I don't have my family background the way that a lot of people do. I can see how this information could be really useful from a health perspective, but I also worry about where that information could go and how it could possibly be used against me, or just the comfort. I'm not comfortable with having that information in someone else's hands, so I have not done the swab test, but I do think about it a lot.
And there's been concern that some of these sites or companies aren't always accurate either.
Sure. Think about the false positives. Mm-hmm. If you were to send in and get some results back that said you had a genetic predisposition to a certain disease, you'd be terribly concerned about that.
Right.
You might be concerned on behalf of your children as well. It would cause a lot of unnecessary distress and heartache.
So when we talk about defense, I'll mention the word spies again. Is there a way that it can be reverse engineered in a sense, that if one thinks that the information is vulnerable, could our folks in those high positions figure out a way to make it seem like the information is real and it's not?
Oh, interesting question. So your question is, can we create falsified genetic data to
make our adversaries think they're getting some advantage or information and they are actually getting incorrect information?
Boy, I think somebody should fund a project on that. That's a really interesting idea. I think one problem is that the genetic testing is being done outside of the government purview. It's being done by independent companies, right? So it's an interesting thought, but being able to overwrite or seed genetic information on U.S. persons in databases that are outside that purview, it gets to be a negotiation between the government and the private sector, and that's been a conversation that's pretty fraught.
Is it possible, or to what extent do you think it's possible, that this would be something that's not just issued as a warning or be smart about this, but could this ever actually be a policy and say, listen, if you have a certain position in the U.S. government, in Defense Department, if you have security clearance, you're not allowed to send in your information to get this genetic information?
It's possible. I think if a policy like that were considered, we should think carefully about what these tests can provide versus the vulnerabilities that are inherent in having them done. And perhaps there's a way to bring it back in-house. So someone who's in an important security position who could benefit from knowing about genetic information and wants to have that, maybe there can be an avenue for that person to do so in a more secure manner. But that, again, would be something to carefully consider. How would we do that?
Yeah. Jamie Winterton, good to see you. Thank you.
As always, Happy New Year.
Jamie Winterton is Director of Strategy at ASU's Global Security Initiative.